We've been talking about Paul. This is the second week we're doing this. And today we're going to actually be covering the letter of to the Philippians. Philippians was an early church. Paul would make trips during his, the book of Acts is full of Paul going to different places, sailing, traveling on foot, and starting churches, letting people know about Jesus Christ, letting people know that there is a there is something for them, letting people know that there's hope in a very hopeless situation. And one of the churches that he started was a church in a place called Philippi. And Philippi is a Greek populated city. It is it was a thriving city. It had a lot of they were known for their intellectuals and things, kind of like neighbors, I would like to think, that we're known for our smarty people, you know, and then there's me. But it's nice that we're all here. And he would start these churches, and then he would kind of get it going and everything, and then he would move on because he had other churches to start. He had to, his mission was to share the news of the gospel, which means the good news of Jesus Christ. And what he would do after he had left some of those folks is he would write them letters. And he was always staying in contact with them. He made friends there. And so he was checking in with them to see how they were doing. Sometimes he was helping to kind of confront some issues, help them through some rough times. The interesting thing is we always see these images of him sitting at this table in an office somewhere. He's got a quill, you know, a little cup of coffee that he just got from Starbucks, you know, and he's just kind of writing these letters in the comfort of his own home. In actuality, he's, for the letter to the Philippians, he's writing it from prison. Writing it from prison. This isn't a prison. This is turkeys. And so I want to pause right there to talk about turkeys. Forgive me. School started over here, and it's just down the street here is Sco Middle School, right? Sco Middle School. And they, during the, I think like about 2:30 to 3 o'clock, there is traffic going all over the place of parents picking up their kids from school. And it's a bustling time and everything like that. I chose this time to walk my dog, not realizing that school had started and everything, and I'm in the thick of it, and there's people walking all over the place and everything. But what I noticed is, in addition to the cars and the students and the teachers, there are turkeys that are trying to cross the street just right over here. And it was so funny. I was walking Murray, and Murray was kind of doing his business, and while he was doing his business, I was watching these turkeys try to cross the street, and they would do this thing where they were, there was almost like a leader. Like this guy, you know, was like the leader of them. And I don't know how smart turkeys are. I don't know anything about turkeys. I'm a vegetarian, so even during Thanksgiving, I'm safe with the turkeys. You know, we have a understanding. But they were trying to cross the street as cars were coming, and they were huddled around, and this was like the curb right here, and there would be one that would kind of like lead the charge. And when there was a break, he would just run across, you know, and the other ones were like, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? And they were just all nervous and stuff. And some of them would go like halfway, and then they would just chicken out and they'd go right back. And so the leader of the group would go back to them and he would say, oh, no, really, follow me. This is the way to go. And so another car would come and they'd wait it out. These are some smart turkeys, really. They'd wait it out. And then they would, the leader of them would cross. And a couple of them would make it, and then the other ones would just kind of dance around in the street, and then a car would come, and the car would stop and just kind of stare at these turkeys, and the turkeys would just all go, blah, and just run back to the thing there. And it was just comical to see this kind of confusion all the time. But the one that I kept following was this leader. He would go back to where he was with the group. It wasn't like an every turkey for themselves. He didn't, once he crossed the street and he was safe, he didn't just stay there. It was the most, maybe this is, if you know turkeys, maybe this is what they do. Or maybe I was seeing something that was somewhat unusual. But he would come back and he would make sure that they all went as a group. And eventually, within, I mean, it seemed like days, but I'm sure it was only about 3 minutes, He went back, gathered them, and they all nervously went across the street, and they were all safe. Every once in a while, things seem a little hectic and a little crazy in our lives. Every once in a while, things seem like we can't get to the other side, or we're afraid to get to the other side. And sometimes what we need in our life is someone to remind us that it's going to be okay. And that's what Paul was doing with these churches. He wouldn't start the churches and then just cross the street and be on his own. He was constantly checking back with the churches. He was constantly letting the people know that they could continue to go forward. They continued to move ahead, that it was okay, that he was with them. And by checking in with them, he was coming back across the street to make sure that they were okay and carrying them across, reminding them of what their mission was, reminding them of who they were. They were the first century church. Without them, truthfully, without them, we wouldn't have church today, because it had to start somewhere. It had to start with these little seeds planted and these little churches planted and the word to get out to where today we know that we can cross that street. But back to what I was talking about with Paul, when he was writing the letter to the Philippians, he was in prison. He was in prison because in the day of Paul, you could get persecuted just for trying to start a church, just for trying to tell people about Jesus Christ. Imagine that. You're telling people about Jesus Christ, something that is so meaningful and so precious to you. You're telling them about love. You're telling them about the Savior. You're telling them about eternal life. You're telling them these grandiose and wonderful stories of the kingdom of heaven. And it can get you in jail. It can actually get you killed. And Paul knew this because his job started out as a persecutor of Christians. It was his job to go to places like if a church was starting, like the Philippians, roust them up, arrest them all, and put them in jail. He was not a believer at first. He was a person that thought that these folks with their movement were creating anarchy. They were creating something that was anti-government. They were creating something that was anti-rules, and they were creating something that was anti-tradition. And it scared him. So Paul knew what it was like to be on that one side of the street and not want to cross. And then he had this revelation. He saw Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ confronted him and said, "Why do you persecute me?" And through that experience, Paul became one of the strongest advocates of Christianity in the history of our churches. So much so that he endured all of the pain that he inflicted on people, he was enduring himself. And today he's writing from prison. Now, we talked about this last week, but this is a first century Roman prison here. And you'll notice that it is a dark place. Imagine a basement that has basically just been filled in, covered up. There's nothing above it except a little hole. And that little hole was your source of light. That little hole was your source of heat. And it was also your source of communication and even food. In many of these prisons, they would not feed them. They didn't care about them. They didn't care if they put them away there to die. And a lot of times what it would happen is whether you lived or died mattered on whether or not you had supportive people on the outside. Supportive people that would actually go to that hole there, and they would yell down, and they would talk to you, and they would send you food. They would hoist down water. And if you didn't have friends, if you didn't know people, if you didn't have connections in this world, there's a very good chance that you just, through malnourishment, you just died in a dark, empty cave. And many times for the people, they were chained to places. They were chained to the ground. And for some of these prisons, they would be chained to a Roman centurion the whole time. A Roman centurion that didn't want to be there, didn't like what you were doing, didn't want anything to do with your mission or anything like that. And if the sun went away, it just became very, very dark in there. It was cold. It was empty. In many cases, sewage lines would run through there, so you would actually be sitting in filth. You'd be sharing space with the sewage system of that particular area. We often think about our lives and where we are in this world. We often think about the things that make us uncomfortable. The COVID situation alone has made us rethink where we are in our world. In many cases, it has made us feel, it has challenged us with loneliness. It has challenged us with the inability to have a certain amount of freedom. It's challenged us from being able to fill this church. I guess that's our challenge today. I'd love to be able to give a lecture on that Paul had it so much worse than you do. But one thing I've learned is that we all have our own situations, and our own situations are the crosses that we bear. If we are going through something, just because someone else might have appeared to have gone through something worse doesn't mean that what we're going through lacks importance or impact. What we are going through for many of us in our world right now is our own imprisonment. It is our own challenge in this world. And for many of us, we are, there are many people that are feeling worn out and they're feeling exhausted. Coronavirus aside, we have a political thing happening in our world right now that is, it makes me sad. It makes me sad because we judge people by how they vote, not by the soul that they are. For many of us during this time, we are seeking hope and we are seeking joy. And so when we read the letters from Paul, we can see how he found some joy. And maybe through that, we won't compare ourselves to that he had it so much worse. But maybe through his letters, we can see some of the things that he's doing that might help us in our situation, that might help us as a flock of turkeys be able to have enough confidence to cross the street in our faith. Maybe. One of the things that Paul writes in his letter to the Philippians, imagine this. Now, he is in prison, and he's not dictating on a quill. He's not sitting there with his Starbucks coffee. He, in many cases, what he's doing is he's dictating to the whole, and somebody's writing for him. Sometimes he wrote himself. Sometimes he wrote this way. But what he said was, I want you to know, beloved, that what has happened to me has actually helped to spread the gospel so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers and sisters, having been made confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, dare to speak the word with greater boldness and without fear. Paul is in prison right now. His hope is gone. He doesn't even have the light except for this little hole right up here. But where he is at is where he chooses to continue to plant churches, to plant the seeds of Jesus Christ, to let people know that there is a God that loves them, wherever they are. Again, he talks about the whole imperial guard. That means the whole compound, the whole place that he is imprisoned. That means the prison that he's in. That also means the guards above. That means everybody. It means people that even come by the, that little opening there and yell down at him. Whatever his situation is, he is the one that is saying, even in this, there is hope. There is something that is actually even worth celebrating. Let me tell you about him. Let me tell you about God. Let me tell you about Christ. Can you imagine this? He is sitting in this prison cell, and maybe he does have a Roman centurion that is chained to him. I often look at myself of where I am. I get uncomfortable. If I'm uncomfortable, I whine. I'm one of the biggest adult babies in the world. If I'm at a restaurant and my food doesn't come the way I like it, I may not return it, but I'll certainly pout about it. I'm definitely not going to be a person that can sit where Paul's at next to somebody. But he used this opportunity to talk to them about why he's imprisoned, to talk to them about why it's worth it to be imprisoned. Wherever his situation was, Paul told people about Jesus Christ. And the reason that he told people about Jesus Christ is because he knew that we need to hear it. He knew that we are on this side of the street and we are scared. And sometimes we take these little steps out and our insecurities get to us, or our feelings of dread get to us, or life just seems to kind of burden us like a car coming down at us. And the first thing we want to do is we want to run back. We want to run back to where we think it's safe. Paul knew that our happiness was forward. Our happiness was not sometimes in our current surroundings, but in something much, much bigger than that, much deeper than that. He knew that our surroundings were not the things that dictate how we feel. Our surroundings are not the things that are supposed to dictate our faith. Our faith is the thing that is supposed to propel us through our surroundings and see something even greater on the other side. Just like that turkey that knew that that's where the food is. There's little farmy things over there, and there's little grains and stuff over there. That's the safe thing over there. Come with me. Sometimes we don't really want to do that. Sometimes we sit here and we look at our surroundings and we think, I'm not comfortable. I don't like this at all. Who's God anyways? And we start to we get negative about our surroundings, and we even get negative about God. If God loved me so much, why is he making me so uncomfortable? So many times we're not complaining about the things like life and death. I mean, you talk to any Christian and they're going to say, I'll give my life for Jesus. But if you say, I need you to sit here for a while, they're going to say, no, that's uncomfortable. I don't want to do that. I'll give my life, but I want to be comfortable. I want to be nourished. I want to be fulfilled. But sometimes our nourishment and our fulfillment is not the way that we see it. It's actually the way that God sees it. And sometimes God sees it in a completely different way. You see, God knew that Paul was in prison. He knew he was sitting in filth. He knew he was uncomfortable. He knew that he was physically uncomfortable, but he also knew that a church was being planted here. That people, brothers and sisters, having been made confident in the Lord, were able to speak and pass on that word about Jesus Christ. To pass on that word that people are loved in this world, and people should be included in that love. And notice he says, and most of the brothers and sisters, not all of them, we're going to face people that don't share our beliefs. And Paul wasn't about going on Facebook and trashing those people or making those people feel bad about themselves. But he was about people wondering why he was so joyful, even in situations such as this. He goes on in his letter, some proclaim Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. These proclaim Christ out of love, knowing that I have been put here for the defense of the gospel. The others proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerity, but intending to increase my suffering and my imprisonment. What does it mean? It means just this, that Christ is proclaimed in every way, whether out of false motives or true, and in that I rejoice. Who is he to be saying anything like the word rejoice in his current situation? Some people think that this is, he doesn't give an actual description or an example of what people are saying. But I kind of think that when we're talking about people that are doing it to kind of hurt him, it's people that are saying, hey, did you hear about that Paul guy, that nut that's down there in the hole talking about this Jesus guy? And he's down there and he's giggling and he's talking about this guy. Even as he's sitting in filth, he keeps talking about this guy. It's almost like being a turkey on this side of the fence saying, imagine this guy. He keeps wanting to go over there. Obviously, there are cars coming and all this kind of stuff, bad things and happening and stuff, and he thinks it's still worth the risk to go over there. But no matter what they're talking about, they're still talking about Christ. They're still engaging in the conversation. And one of the things that we sometimes lack in this world is the conversation. Sometimes we are so bent on our ideals and our thoughts that we will not partake in the conversation. We love to create these little silos and these little things on each side of this is what I believe and this is what you believe. And rather than having a conversation about it, we just tag that person an enemy and we don't have anything to do with them. Imagine if Paul were in prison right now and he was chained to the Roman centurion and he saw the Roman centurion as the symbol of the people that had persecuted him for no good reason, and all he did is talk about the hatred that he had for these folks. That Roman centurion would have never heard the truth about Jesus Christ. Sometimes our own, dare I say, arrogance, our own closed-mindedness stops the kingdom of heaven from being shared. Christ is about inclusion. Christ is about welcoming people. Sometimes we like to throw in a biblical thing to prove our point that that person is wrong, but we don't make any, it doesn't create any, we're still on this side of the street. We're still not going across. Our faith is so much deeper than the little arguments that we have in this world. And yet, for years, we have chosen sides, and we have gone to war, and we have chose violence, and we have chose hatred, and we have chose spreading stories and smear campaigns. We have chose to, rather than reach out and be Christ-like, we have chosen to wish somebody harm. When has that worked? When has a war ever solved hatred? If it did, why do we still have it? We keep trying to butt heads. We keep trying to fisticuff back and forth, argue back and forth, yell back and forth. We keep trying to say, these people are allowed in here, but these folks are not allowed in here. And we wonder why we still have these disagreements and these arguments and this hatred. We wonder why we're not getting any closer to the other side of the street. We need people like Paul in our lives that no matter what is going on in their situation, they keep coming back across the street and saying, no, this is the way. And you can say, but your situation is awful. No, it's not. No, it's not. Because through faith, through our faith, we often think that faith is something that is going to cure the situation. We often think if we believe in Jesus, that that's going to make us comfortable. Paul is the proof that sometimes that's not what it seems. The joy that Paul had, the rejoicing that he had, comes from a very deep feeling, a very deep faith, knowing things like, I might be suffering now, but I'm heading in the right direction. I have a God that loves me. I have Jesus Christ who gave his life for me. I have Jesus Christ who gave me second, third chances. I have Jesus Christ in my life that has allowed me to feel a deeper sense of love even when my surroundings don't feel that way. When my surroundings feel hopeless, I still know that I have an eternity of hope. Do we feel that way? Do we feel that way in our lives? Are we the people that are wanting to go across the street, or are we the people that want to stay where it's safe and not cause friction or trouble? Let me make it clear, too, that sharing Jesus doesn't always mean agreeing. We can disagree and still share the love of Christ. That's why I pointed out when Paul said that some of the people that he had talked to, some of them received it, got it. Some of them did not, but that didn't stop Paul from showing love to every single person. That's what we're called here to do. We have this this election coming up, and we have these encampments being posted, and we have all of this hatred and nasty mudslinging, and we take things and we share the hatred. That is not what we're supposed to do. We are supposed to be people that help people across the street regardless of where they are right now. Paul sitting next to a Roman centurion. Do you think that this Roman centurion had any idea who Jesus Christ was? Remember, he's in a world where they think that the emperor is the Son of Man, the Son of God. What Paul is talking about is, to them, heresy. It is so much, it's uncomfortable. It's easy to say, you're the bad guy, I'm the good guy. But Paul used his time sitting in filth, sitting in the dark, to create holy ground, to share commonality, to share who Christ is. And you know what's funny? I guess you could probably call this one of the first sit-down protests. You know, we often think that protesting is something that we're not supposed to do, but as Christians, yeah, we are. I'm very proud that, you know, there were a number of clergy marching with Martin Luther King, peacefully. Our job is to help be part of the change for the better, to help spread that message, but to also do it in a way that invites for conversation. We can take to the streets, we can march, but I also invite us that if somebody disagrees with us, that we try to open a dialogue with that folks, with those folks. And not just say, you're the bad person, I'm the good person. Because that doesn't get us anywhere. That gets us into wars. Christ is about, sometimes Christ is very much about confrontation. Sometimes Christ is very much about being uncomfortable. Sometimes. But the one thing that Christ is always about is love. So whatever side you're on, wherever you are, wherever your hope is right now, whether you are having your wit's end or whether you're voting for this person or that person, I hope you're looking at what really being on the other side of the street is truly all about. It's not about putting our faith into a person. It's not about putting our faith into a situation. It's not about making our faith that fragile. It's about building solid roots in something that's much more eternal. It's about putting our roots in Christ. Christ who welcomed the stranger. Christ who welcomed everyone. Christ who opened the doors for the needy, the poor in spirit. Christ who calls us to do the same. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, whatever situation we're going through right now. Help us remember what's on that other side of the street. Help us have the courage to, even when we don't know the conversation, or we worry about comfort, we worry about being uneasy, help us to remember that wherever we are, whatever situation we are in, there's always an opportunity to talk about you, to talk about love, to show that love, to feel that love, and to share that love. Help us do that. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing this week, I pray that you take Christ with you. That we think about where Paul was, the situation that he was in, and he was still able to rejoice because he knew that Christ was with him. Sometimes just knowing that is the thing that keeps us from feeling so alone. Knowing that there is something much longer, much further than where our current situation is. I hope that not only that we think about those things, but that we take the moment to share. When was the last time that you sat down with somebody and just talked about Christ? I invite you to do that this week. Amen.